With each passing day, he extended his record as the longest-serving president in American history. As Franklin Roosevelt entered his 12th year in office, he was a more seasoned, astute, and sometimes cynical reader of political mood swings than any mere two-term president. By the start of 1944, as yet another election year rolled around, he'd outlived, exhausted, or distanced the few political advisors on whom he'd relied, and even these had usually been left wondering about his intentions. Anyone was free now to float a guess about whether he'd stand for another term, based on his track record, or the global crisis, or both, neither of which suggested he might not. But no one could claim to know for sure. Cagey by nature, an inveterate hoarder of contradictory options in statecraft and politics, the president himself was the only political advisor he would heed when he deemed the time for decision was upon him. Those who saw him up close searched his countenance for signs of weariness and ill health. He met them with his usual charm, his practiced chattiness. Only in private, confiding in his worshipful distant cousin Daisy Suckley, who spent more time alone with him than did his bustling wife Eleanor, would he acknowledge how very weary he felt. "He is just too tired too often," Daisy had written in her diary the previous October. With the most destructive military struggle in human history approaching its climax, there was no one in the White House, or his party, or the whole of political Washington, who dared stand before him in the early months of 1944 and ask face-to-face for a clear answer to the question of whether he could contemplate stepping down. All the memoirs, diaries, and caches of private letters preserved from that time reveal no such encounter. When reporters tried to insinuate this by now perennial question into his twice-weekly press conference performances, where in the pre-television era, direct quotation was usually barred, they knew they were inviting a jocular brush-off.